Welcome in the Slow Burn, episode 4. Steven, would you like to introduce our very special guest today and tell him what movie we're doing?
Yes, Jeffrey. So you're the host and I'm the co-host. Let's just go over that for anybody tuning in for the first time, because it's a movie we haven't touched on before, or a genre of movies that we haven't touched on before. And I feel like we're going to get a lot more listeners. So I'm Steven. Jeffrey was the one who opened us up. And then we have a very, very special guest. I might be biased. My wife, Lori Williamson. Welcome into the show.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me.
Good to have you.
Of course. So, Lori, we wanted to have you selected this movie. So, first of all, let's start off with that. Why did you pick this movie?
So, I wanted to pick a movie for y'all to do. And I was told that in order to pick a movie, I would have to come on. So, of course, we started talking about, well, what are my favorite movies and what are ones that I can talk about? Well, we kind of went over Harry Potter's, Lord of the Rings, Pirates of the Caribbean, anything Marvel. We could talk about that for days. But after listening to some of the episodes so far, y'all have already kind of touched on it. Of course, you've been doing some Marvel and some anti-hero stuff. And I was like, you know what? Let's go in a genre that y'all wouldn't pick on your own. And honestly, there is no better than this movie. Did everybody say what it was?
Jeff, I don't think we actually said what it was. The movie is Sweet Home Alabama. We're doing Sweet Home Alabama. And why are you the perfect guest to do Sweet Home Alabama, Lori?
Well, most Saturday nights, since I'm on my own, as you guys work weddings all the time, I watch rom-coms or anything else that you wouldn't want to watch with me. And I tend to watch my favorite ones over and over again. And I will say, I don't know how many times I've watched this movie, but I can quote almost every single line. So I don't know if there's anyone that knows the movie better than me.
I can attest. She does know, like, every single line in the movie. I think my rating for it was 90%. There's 10% in there. Just kind of filler words that she doesn't know. But all the main lines, she knows.
Well, I think that was just filler words because that was when I was sipping on my wine. If I wasn't, then I would have just kept on going.
Fair enough. Fair enough. So, this is a 2002 movie starring Reese Witherspoon. Jeff, why don't you jump into your fun facts about the movie that you have gathered with hours and hours of research and preparation for this?
Yes. I had to take the day off of work to go through and research all of this, Steven. This movie was written by C.J. Cox. No idea who that is. Never heard of anything this man has written other than this.
I like last name.
Never heard of anything this man has written
directed
other than
by Andy
like
Tennant, who did Fool's Gold. And
directed
Hitch.
By Andy Tennant,
this,
who did
one of his
Gold.
First writing gigs ever was actually for the Ferris Bueller TV show.
One of his first writing gigs ever was actually for the Ferris Bueller TV show.
Yeah, apparently it was a colossal failure.
I didn't know there was a Ferris Bueller TV show.
Yeah, apparently it was a colossal failure.
So let's get into the fun facts. So the first thing I thought was the most interesting was this was the very first film to shoot in New York City after 9/11. The very first one.
Yeah, I did. I actually have that fun fact as well. I thought that was interesting because I feel like a lot more blockbuster movies would, I guess, shoot in 2002 or try to get in New York. And it's such a small part of the movie, too.
Yeah, it must have just been the timing of when the attack happened based on when actual production started. But it's just crazy. It just blew my mind when I looked it up and saw that. Should also note that this movie's budget was $30 million, which... no rom-com today would get near that much money. It's crazy. And it grossed $180 million. So, very profitable movie. Also, you guys know the scene with the dog cemetery.
Yes.
That is a real place in Tuscumbia, Alabama, where Helen Keller is from.
Okay. Yeah. Interesting.
So,
interesting.
I don't know if you guys
very
knew. Do you know where Tuscumbia, Alabama is? Because I sure don't.
I do not. I'm assuming somewhere in South Alabama, if I had to guess.
I don't know. Do you know, Lori?
I do not know. Never heard of it.
Charlize Theron was originally cast as Melanie Carmichael, but due to the actor strike, she jumped out of it and went to another movie, and then Reese Witherspoon was cast.
Do you know what movie she went to?
It was Trapped, I believe.
Okay. Yeah, I also had that she was originally cast as Melanie Smooter, so I thought that was interesting.
How do you feel about that, Lori? Would you have preferred Charlize Theron?
She's having to look up who Charlize Theron is because she doesn't know off the top of her head. Mad Max, Fury Road, she was also in that.
She was in Hitchcock. No, Hancock. Hancock? What's the movie? Hitchcock.
It's Hancock.
Hancock. I think you're right.
Is that Charlize Theron?
Yeah, she's the wife. She's Will Smith's wife. That's what I was thinking. No, she looks way too severe for this movie.
What do you mean? Can you
please elaborate?
Can you elaborate on severe? I'm interested.
So I think Reese Witherspoon plays this small town girl trying to be something bigger very well. It just kind of fits. Whereas I feel like Charlize Theron would be someone who's like born in New York and.
Hmm.
I feel that. Yeah.
I actually completely agree.
I can't justify that, but I just feel that way.
Well, hey, you're the expert on this movie, so we will go with your expertise.
Oh, one more thing. One more thing.
Yeah, no.
Dakota Fanning is young Melanie in this movie, okay?
Yep.
She was 7 years old, and this was her first kiss ever while making this movie, and she said...
I actually knew that.
Did you? Okay. Mm-hmm. I had no idea that was Dakota Fanning until I started researching after the movie.
Well, Lori's obviously cheating because she's seen this movie 100 times, and yeah. I've seen it, I don't know, 10? But I knew it was Dakota Fanning. So.
Okay.
No, we were watching
yesterday. I said, what's that actress? You're like, who is that? Who is that? I know her. I can never remember. I'm bad with names.
Come on, Steven.
I'm sorry.
She was in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, by the way. Boom. Had to get it in there.
She's also in Twilight. The only other fact that you did not touch on, so you stole all my facts. But the only fact that you didn't touch on was that even though this movie obviously called Sweet Home Alabama and it shot some in New York,
mm-hmm.
it actually shot like none in Alabama. It did shoot a couple of scenes, but almost the majority of it was shot in Georgia.
Interesting. So maybe that scene at the cemetery was one of the only ones?
I think there were a couple, but because it's supposed to be near Greenville, Alabama and Pigeon Creek, which are two real towns, but obviously they're fictional in this movie because they shoot them in Georgia.
Interesting.
But there's also the scene of when Reese Witherspoon is driving through Alabama to get to her house, you know, kind of towards the very beginning of the movie. That's actually shot in Eufaula. So there are scenes, but most of them were shot in Georgia.
Okay.
Any other fun fact, Lori? All right, Lori's sipping on her wine.
She'll think of this video.
Why don't we just dive right into our notes and our review of the movie? So I do want to start off with our special guest for her notes. Because obviously she's the expert here, and I will tell you, we rewatched the movie for probably the 12th time for me. The I think it was, we counted 3,036 for her, and we took our notes kind of together, or I took notes for her, which was even better because I just literally would tag on my notes that said would in quotes, and then it have dash Lori, like Lori said this. So I think they're pretty perfect.
Oh my god.
Yeah,
that's humongous.
That is a lot of notes.
That's a novel.
Yep, there's a lot of notes.
Let's dive in. What you got, Lori?
So I want to touch on what you said about the opening scene of Sweet Home Alabama. What was the word you used to describe that opening scene?
First, I don't know if you made it clear enough. I didn't take notes because I don't need to. But you did write down what I said throughout the movie, which, I mean, it's pretty quality. It's really good commentary. But I was trying to channel my inner Jeff and really look at and think about the cinematography that's going on. So it starts off on this beach and there's this lightning and it's storming and these kids are running. And I said, it's cinemazing.
That's incredible.
What a great word. I'm going to start using that from now on every show we have.
Cinemazing.
We'll have the favorite, our favorite scene of any movie from now on will be the cinemazing scene. And also that makes me think of Cinnabons for some reason.
Now I'm hungry.
Yeah. Love some cinnamon rolls right now.
That would be cinemazing.
Yes. So the only thing I had to touch on kind of before the first scene would be if anybody wants to just kind of have a good enjoying time, just go back and watch a trailer. I think pre-2005, so from like 2000 to 2005, because every single trailer, we've started watching a lot of trailers recently from earlier movies, they start off with the, in a world, where, and then they go from there, and it's, like that right there, yes, is just so entertaining.
One of our personal favorites is the Reign of Fire trailer, with, yes, bald Matthew McConaughey.
Yeah, it's perfect.
It's,
and this,
great.
This trailer literally has the same, it has to be the same guy. Right?
Oh, it was, yeah.
From every, sure, 2000 to 2005, every movie that came out in the United States is the same narrator,
yeah,
who starts off with,
he's
the,
awesome,
in a world where a southerner has to go back home.
I wish I had his voice.
Same. You'd be a lot better podcaster. All right, so my next note we already touched on is Lori can quote, and she did quote. She can quote about 90% of this movie, so, and I heard it from her. So if you ever need, if you ever missing a line, which we do a lot on this podcast.
We do.
If you listen to any, we miss lines, we miss people. We have her. So if we ever have another movie, maybe a Pirates of the Caribbean, a Harry Potter, a Lord of the Rings that we also need lines for, she can also quote those. So we have our person.
maybe you should fire me and hire her as your co-host, Steven.
It's probably from what I'm hearing.
I don't know if that would be very safe for our marriage. Especially right. If he tries to cut me off like he cuts you off constantly, it's not going to work out.
Well, when you put it that way.
Yeah, she's a lot more assertive than you, Jeff. What can I say?
That's not saying much.
Yeah. The next note I have is the perfect, romance quote, I feel like, is just, so I can kiss you anytime I want. You gotta say it. Yeah, Lori is swooning over there. All you gotta do is you say it in a strong Southern accent, and you've got it nailed, baby.
Honestly, though, I actually do love how they book in the movie with that. You know, that's one of the first lines you hear when she asks him that, and then she says that very last line of the movie, I believe, right, Lori? So that was
interesting. No, it's not the very last line of the movie, but it is a key scene.
Okay. Yeah, because then they go to the bar and have their little reception party. That's right.
Go to the bar and they play Sweet
Home Alone. That's right. Duh. You gotta have that song.
So the next thing I have is just kind of, we go from the beach shot, we see Reese Witherspoon back in New York, where she's working.
Oh, but you missed your favorite part to talk about at the beginning of every podcast.
What's that?
Isn't it called the title sequence? Title series?
No, I didn't even notice it in this one.
Oh, I was so prepared to talk about it with you.
Okay, go for it.
So you hate it when it's just like clips of things that don't move the movie along, right?
Yeah.
But in this one, right after they start off with the kids, the initial scene.
You're right.
Go into her office, present day. They do it as she's strolling home after her hard night's work. So she's moving.
Yeah. You're right.
You know, the plot is progressing.
It's an interesting point because I'm always complaining about exposition, but this is pivotal backstory without telling us anything. We see it all. That's a great point.
That's true. I think Lori has several points about exposition later in this. She's prepared for you, Jeff. Okay. I think she's prepared just to battle you on this because she knows this is not going to be your favorite movie of all time, and she's prepared to convince you.
No, I'm not here to battle. I want to actually talk to Jeff because I never get to hear what he actually says during this show.
We're going to be bullying Steven a lot on this episode. So let's say,
last episode, the cocky was like the nice off. We were just being nice to each other. This episode is going to be the bully Steven episode.
Oh, speaking of which, not to derail too much because we already have a few times. You started that last episode by complimenting how pretty everyone was. And I'm sitting right here and I've heard nothing.
You look beautiful.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Jeff. You're very handsome.
Thank you, Steven.
You're welcome.
You both look
everybody,
great.
Everybody happy now?
Yes.
Everybody I'm good. Good. Yeah.
Okay. Andy's pretty cute over there, too. So, the next note I have is obviously she's getting proposed to and everything. She gets proposed to at Tiffany's by Patrick Dempsey's character, Andrew. God, whew, I nailed that.
Mm-hmm.
I never do that.
Speaking of attractive people.
Yeah, Patrick Dempsey. I mean, objectively speaking, pretty hot. Like, I mean, they call him McDreamy for a reason,
There's
right?
no way around it.
So I think Lori, while we're on this tangent right here, I think Lori's had this thing, too, a lot. It's that Patrick Dempsey is more, what do you say, like, objectively handsome, or you say classically handsome, I guess?
He's pretty.
He's a pretty boy. And then the Jake is also handsome, but you think he's more like a rugged handsome?
Oh, absolutely. Which fits very well with their roles in the movie.
Okay.
And their characters. Yeah.
Who's more handsome? Like, you see on the street and you're just like, is it Patrick Dempsey? Because it's like, that's the more...
So this is where you get into handsome versus attractive. And those, I think those are two different things. I would say that Patrick Dempsey is more handsome. I might find the Jake character to be more attractive.
Josh Lucas.
There you go. Josh Lucas.
Josh Lucas. Jeff, same question.
You gotta go with Patrick Dempsey.
Okay, you're going with McDreamy.
Look how tall he is.
Straight away McDreamy. Okay, just all into the height apparently. Okay, so that the next note I have anyways was, you never trust a woman who says that she cannot tell her parents when you get engaged. You can't trust her. I feel like this movie just gives serious trust issue vibes. Everybody good with that?
Oh yeah, I think there's some major warning signs right off the back. You know, he proposes and she says, are you sure?
Yep.
And then they're in a limo and he wants to call. Can't call the parents yet.
Nope.
That's where we figure out he hasn't met them. They've been together for 8 months.
She hasn't been
home
for 7 years.
She hasn't
been
home. She hasn't seen her family. So they're kind of, there's not a lot of exposition. They just kind of sprinkle in these very important tidbits. And instead of just telling you, hey, you know what? You haven't been home and you don't get along with your parents. We're seeing like, oh, obviously there's something not so great there.
That's very true. That's very true. I feel like this movie kind of shows that good guys do lose, too. Not that Jake's not a good guy, but Andrew's like the perfect guy. And he still loses, so... Girls are just the worst. Is that what we're getting from this movie?
I think my note was, can you pick a better guy to screw over?
Yeah, it was your note.
And it's, you know, probably not.
So the next, we already touched on the next note I have, is Patrick Dempsey's a handsome man. And then the very, so I'll actually throw it to Jeff, because I talk too much apparently on this podcast. Jeff, what's your next note?
I will say, Steven, you talk too much in general, just in real life, okay?
That's fair.
It's not just the podcast thing, so.
Jeff, you're just not assertive.
You're right.
You let people walk all over you.
Lori told me that, actually, yeah. So I'm going to work on that.
You let people walk all over you.
So, okay, the thing that first, talking about the title sequence, the first thing that I enjoyed was just when it said a film by Andy Tennant, it made me laugh so hard, because it's like, what? What else has he done? Like, I don't know.
Hey, he's done Fool's Gold.
Okay, but this was pre-Fool's Gold, right?
Yes.
Yes.
So it's like he hadn't done Hitch yet either.
Yeah, Hitch was 2008.
Yeah, exactly. So like he has basically no resume as far as I know. But it's like they're doing like a Martin Scorsese film.
Yeah, that's
like,
what I was literally about to say. We're gonna reference Scorsese every single pod, aren't we?
I have to. Like I literally can't help. Just wait till I fit The Lighthouse into this somehow.
You already did. There you go.
One thing I enjoyed about this was when she does go back to Alabama. It's just it feels so like true that. Everyone in the small town knows each other, right?
Yep.
When she's walking the street, when she goes to the bank, when she goes to the bar, everyone knows everyone. So there's like no secrets, and that just feels really true. I think they kind of nailed that aspect of the movie.
Yeah, I think that this is also, I feel like we should be offended by this movie, is that we are Alabamians, and that all the Alabamians have...
I'm in Alabama.
Alabama. And then like that one guy that has the mullet and the sunglasses that he wears the whole time, what, do you know the character's name?
Well, our child has a mullet, so...
Well, that's fair, but that? I've been trying to cut off our child's... I've been trying to cut off our child's mullet, so, you know, what do you want from me? You have a baby in a bar is also like classic, you know...
The pause is key there. That's what makes it so funny.
That is. Next thing I have, actually, is just R.I.P. Bear. Can we just all say R.I.P. Bear? I feel like I miss Bear. I never even met Bear, and I already miss Bear.
The scene where she's, like, reminiscing on Bear is the most touching scene in the movie. I, like, wanted to cry.
Yeah.
It's so moving.
Yeah,
but did you cry?
No, but I wanted
Steven,
to.
Steven, did you cry?
No.
You cried.
I did not cry. I had what's the line in Harry Potter? The tears of his ghosts of his past welling up in tears in his eyes.
I think you butchered that quote, but
yeah, you know what I'm talking about. Yes, you know what I'm talking about. Rita
Skeeter.
Skeeter. Thank you. God, help me out, people. All right. Then I think the next favorite line I have in the movie is. And I'd like nothing more than to piss you off. That is just an all-time petty quote. Like
it's his eyes door. Are glistening with the ghost of his past.
That's what it is. Yes. Yes. Sorry. Thank you.
I'm glad you clarified
that. Harry Potter.
Which had nothing to do with crying at all. No.
It kind of did. All right. Anyways. I thought that was an all-time petty quote. You hoity-toity Yankee.
Yeah.
I'd like nothing more than to piss you off right now. It's just an all-time petty quote. The next one I have is actually not about the movie. Lori eats the kernels in popcorn. She just straight goes in and the unpopped popcorn, she eats those.
Is that true, Lori?
That is. I don't have anything else to say. And I love a partially popped kernel, too.
Mm.
I don't know if there's anything better than that.
Okay.
Is that not serial killer vibes?
It's pretty bad, but it's not as bad as when you're, like, stuck beside someone who's, like, eating popcorn like a metronome, you know? They're just like... Like, and it's just so annoying as they're crunching the whole time.
That's fair.
That's worse.
That's fair. That
it's
is
still.
Worse. Are you talking about Furco?
Yes. How'd you know?
So you're going through your list.
Yeah.
When did you go through your list? I thought we'd do this like chronologically.
Where's
you
yours? Just...
You know, Laura, I don't have nearly as many notes as usual because I was planning on hearing your notes in this. So do you have anything that you want to talk about?
Yeah. What's your next note?
After Cinemazing, because that's as far as you let me get.
You hop in. This is supposed to be chronological. You guys are supposed to hop in.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just carrying on.
I kind of already touched on my next one, which would have been, so we can cut this stuff out probably, which was about him being at the risk of being rejected twice. And I was like, we got some key foreshadowing going
on.
And there are a lot of instances where there's a lot of foreshadowing.
Correct.
So
you could have hopped in though when I was talking about the.
I like the foreshadowing. I didn't catch up on that.
Oh, yeah.
Pick up on that. Good point.
What's your next
I think note? That was the only one I actually mentioned when there was foreshadowing. But there was a lot of it.
Okay, what's your next note, Lori?
Oh, this is important. It's the 2000s fashion for me. That was my next one.
She is a fashion designer, too, so it works out perfectly.
Yes. Y'all can keep going.
No, keep going. Regularly
scheduled programming.
No, keep going.
I feel I'm put on the spot now.
You're supposed to be.
So I feel every week.
Yeah. Jeff, do you have another note? Because I'm stepping on everybody's
toes. There was an important one that you important scene that you just kind of glazed over, and I feel like you would like this too, which is with their initial meeting, and she's in his house, and they're kind of going back and forth about getting him to sign the papers, and he calls the sheriff.
Mm-hmm.
And instead of explaining to the viewer that she's kind of had a rough growing up childhood and got into a lot of trouble, they instead are sitting there talking about, well, what about the time where, you know, someone tipped the cow or, you know, stealing the catfish from the pond and things like that? And so they're going ahead and painting this picture, one, of what Melanie was like growing up, but two, you're really seeing the dynamic of their relationship.
It's true.
Like, they knew each other from when they were kids. They went through everything together. And as the movie progresses, of course, you have to be a fan of the Patrick Dempsey character. He never did anything wrong, but you can't help but completely root for her and Jake to work it out because they've already been through everything else.
Marvel
could never. No. This is an Andy Tennant film for a reason.
He's the next Scorsese, okay? We just don't know it yet.
You just wait.
But that's also a comedic scene, too. So you get the exposition without exposition while also, you know, getting a good laugh out of it. So, you know, win-win-win.
Yeah.
Win.
Don't keep going. Win-win-win.
We're going to get through all your notes before we get to none of mine or even...
Am I in trouble now?
No, you're not in trouble. Also, right after that scene, light beer, I'm in agreement with Jake. Chick food. Go ahead.
I love
that.
Right now? So kind of the next interesting scene, really. Well, so she gets arrested, and then she has to call her parents to come pick her up, and this is where you first see the interaction with her and her parents and what that dynamic is like, and you're really starting to understand, like, all right, we know what she ran away from, and now we're kind of seeing why. Not that it's just her mom's fault for whatever it is that their relationship is, but they don't really meld well. But that's when you start to see it. Her dad goes and picks her up, and on the way back, this is when you're starting to see, obviously Jake is doing something good with his life, but we don't know what it is yet. And, you know, like that wedding that I paid for, and he puked all over her dress and slept it off in the travel lodge, and you're just getting so much backstory while also having this kind of tense moment in a relationship between her and her parents. And you know what? It's just quality stuff here.
Yeah.
I think.
You get a complex, you know, daughter-parent relationship going here. Complex dynamic going on.
It is interesting because her dad...
still making magic, Jeff. Until you realize we're going to keep hammering you.
Andy Tennant's a magician, right? Lori makes a great point. I enjoy it because you see her dad doesn't see anything wrong with, like, him being too drunk to be at the reception or puking on her dress. He's just like, whatever, I'm going to look past it. But then the mom just, you know, she wants something better for her. She's like, you need to get out and make something of yourself. So I do like the dichotomy there between, like, her dad just being like, you should stay here. What's better out there that we don't have? And then the mom, like, you need to, you know.
But then you have that one line where they're like, well, Jake's going places. And the mom says to the dad, well, one time you were as well. So then you really see the mom is unhappy with how her life turns out. You just said, she wants more for her daughter to get up and get out. But then when she does, they don't go visit her. They don't support her, it doesn't feel like. So really I feel like it's more of the mom projecting what she wanted on her daughter rather than Melanie actually doing what maybe she would have done otherwise.
Preach.
Since we're on the topic of her parents, Jeff, do you remember their names?
Oh, no chance.
Earl and Pearl.
I didn't even pick up on that. I picked up on Earl.
And Pearl.
Earl and Pearl, Smooter.
Smooter.
That is writing magic.
The writer who you named, that
CJ Cox.
CJ Cox, great last name. That's movie magic. That is a masterpiece right there.
How is this guy not writing anything else?
I don't know. How is he not writing for Scorsese? That's right, because he's writing for Andy Tennant, the next Scorsese.
You're right. You know, it is weird. Hey, why is he not doing anything else? This movie was not like...
It was a box office hit.
It was
hit.
Not like atrocious or anything.
It was a box office
hit. It was a huge hit, yeah.
Yeah, it's a box office hit, so Who knows? Do you have your next note? We're going to keep going back to you because I apparently step on everybody's toes. So
I'm sorry.
You were really offended, weren't you, Steven?
Yes, he was.
I'm not offended. You trying. Did I just hear Jeffrey call me a baby?
You're right. What a hypocrite.
Well, my next note is, I want to be Melanie in the scene when she's getting hit on by Bobby Ray walking down the street.
Now,
so.
Explain that to me, because you said that to me while we were watching that scene. And you did explain it in that moment, but I do really want your explanation of why that scene spoke out to you, and you're like, I want to be here right
well,
there.
Well, one, that goes back to, it's the 2000s fashion for me. You know, she's wearing this black, ribbed, turtlenecked bodycon dress with her high black boots, and she's just strutting. And she is just fashion all the way for early 2000s in the middle of nowhere, Alabama. And she's just owning it. And then from what we know at this point, a redneck is just hollering at her from this car, and it's just a major power flex where she just turns around and she's like, hey buddy, why don't you, yada yada yada, and then you see that it's a fun friendly dynamic, and I just love that. And I think this goes a little bit back to, like, you know, we see that she's from the big city, or coming from the big city now, and she doesn't like where she's from, we know that, but then we're seeing these great things about what it is to live in a small town. I'm from the Atlanta area, so I'm not really from a small town, but Jeff, I know that you are from a smaller town, and you even said that's kind of what it's like, right? Everybody knows each other, and it's just a family atmosphere in a smaller setting, and I just, it's like romantic, and not like the romantic, like, but like, it's like a romantic notion,
I really enjoy that scene.
Romanticized, maybe.
You see that they also have a past as, like, true friends, you know? And that was a meaningful to reconnect again. It was just, it was really well shot. Well, May, I enjoyed that part, yeah.
Jeff, were you feeling like this was basically just another version of Dora in this movie?
It's, it not quite like that, no,
okay.
But
a little bit
close.
Different.
Yeah. I did enjoy the actual way the scene was shot. Like you said, she's strutting down the sidewalk and you get, like, the dolly shot that's panning with her. It's just, it's really well done. I enjoyed it.
I love this. He loved that scene.
I did, actually.
I knew,
like,
we were
going
to do great together.
Again, Lori's coming for my job here. So it doesn't pay well, just so you know. And Jeff complains a lot.
He hasn't today, so it must be you.
Behind the scenes, you don't see it. He wants to make a good impression.
So you were talking about the names Earl and Pearl for the parents.
Right.
I'm assuming you picked up on the names of the dogs, Bear and Bryant?
Of course.
Yeah, okay.
Of course.
I just had to make that connection.
Well, that was easy, but the Earl and Pearl, you don't, like, I think you hear Pearl's name maybe once.
Yeah.
And she's obviously seen it 1,000 times, so I was like, what are their names? I can't remember. And she's like, Earl and Pearl.
That scene where Jake is carrying her in and kind of walks back. And so that's when it really connects, he goes, Earl.
Pearl.
Yeah. And I think that's when you lost your mind.
Yeah, that was hilarious. So the next part I do want to touch on, Jeff, is another well-shot scene that I wanted to point out to you.
Sure.
Was when Melanie goes into what was her and Jake's house and buys all the new stuff and everything like that. And Jake is drinking a beer. And she says, go ahead and spend all your money. And she's like, well, I thought you said it was our money. And the shot where it goes a close-up of him chugging the beer and he crunched.
It's chef's like an kiss. Overhead shot, too, right? Yes. Like, it's above him, yeah.
Yes, chef's kiss, Jeff. That's a good shot. That's a good shot.
It was played well for comedic effect. For
That's
sure.
what I'm saying,
they,
Jeff.
They got a chuckle
it's
out of
me. It's genius.
Would y'all say that it was cinemazing?
No, that's. I only reserve that for the first scene.
Okay.
That's the only one. I reserved that for that one. What you got next, Lori?
I just want to say, when we were talking about the disagreement between Jake, right?
Yes.
Jake, yes. And what's her name again?
Melanie.
I'm so bad with names.
Again, this is why I'm here. It's okay.
This is why she's here.
I just love that line. She's like, they run out of soap at the Piggly Wiggly.
That's a good one.
Pretty great.
I had to pause it to write that one down.
Again, are we sure this isn't Dora?
Okay, now there is a Piggly Wiggly right there in Dora. So.
Hey, don't hang on Pig. I worked at the Pig. So
nothing wrong
okay.
with Pig.
Nothing wrong with the Pig.
I go to the Pig.
Yeah.
Music selection. Jeff, do you have any thoughts on this?
It's just, Steven and I actually talked about this a little pre-podcasting, but it's so, like, it is like the quintessential 2000, early 2000s music, right?
Absolutely.
It's like the most stereotypical thing you would imagine for this movie.
Right. It's great, too, because another, I think Lori's probably, the next thing she's going to say is, she knows these songs, but only the parts in the movie. She mm-hmm. does not know the actual song, but she can sing along to the lyrics that are in the movie, and then she will stop as soon as it's done in the movie.
Well, what happens when you've seen the movie 3,026 times.
Right, exactly.
So the music was cheesy. It was on par with any early 2000s movie.
Yeah, it was pretty cheesy.
And it was terrible. But when you're watching it and trying to think about it, like I was, because I was trying to pull any sort of meaning out of anything, you really have the music narrating what's going on. It's just so cheesy and cliche, mm-hmm. and I just find that very entertaining.
It's very true. It's very true. The next line I have, this is just for the romance lovers in here, is I think her parents, or maybe it was Bobby Ray, or maybe one of Jake and Melanie's friends, they talk about how Jake has just been trying to conquer the world ever since she left, because he knew he had to conquer the world for her. Swoon.
You totally butchered that, by the way.
Okay, tell me what I was... It was the girl with the baby in a bar.
Yes, it was.
And she was talking to Melanie. And she
her name is Lurlin, by the way. Lurlin,
another great name.
I would have never gotten
Lurlin, yeah, great name. She talked about how Jake went to New York, and when he went to New York and saw it, and saw how well she was doing and everything like that, he realized that
he had to conquer the world first, and he's been trying ever since. And yes, that is... There are a lot of points in this movie that any young girl growing up, like myself, I was watching this. It's just what you want in life, you know? It's the... So I can kiss you anytime I want. He's been trying to conquer the world for you.
Yes.
And,
it is that's like the perfect line for any... Trying to get any girl ever is just... I'm trying to conquer the world for you.
Mm-hmm.
That is, you know, that's it. Also, the fact that everyone in this movie... This is also a stereotype, but it's a very, very true stereotype, doing all these weddings and everything. And I'm sure, Jeff, you've seen it a million times as well. The fact that everybody in this movie goes crazy when Sweet Home Alabama plays is just... It's so true. Everybody goes wild in Alabama for Sweet Home Alabama.
Every time.
Even as Auburn fans, they just change up the words, and then they just still sing along to Sweet Home Alabama. I mean, it's just...
It's Sweet Home Alabama and Dixieland Delight. Those
yes.
are the two.
Those are the two. They get the people going.
It's provocative,
yeah,
okay?
Yeah, exactly. The next thing I have is my two favorite kind of... I don't even know what you'd call them. Made-up words, I guess. Is hoity-toity, which we hear from Jake earlier,
uh-huh.
and then snooty-falooty.
And cinemazing.
Well, yeah, I mean, of course, can't forget that one. But snooty-falooty and hoity-toity, I'm going to have to start saying in front of stuff. Is that an adverb, an adjective? I don't even know what that is.
Who knows?
It's great. I love it. What's your next note here, Lori?
So, yeah, we really are all over the place chronologically.
Correct.
Because, you know, we're now kind of past the... rodeo shindy.
Yeah, we're past the
whatever.
Rodeo.
But you've totally missed, which I feel like is the absolute most pivotal scene in the movie, which is when she gets drunk at the bar.
Okay. We did skip over that.
Because she has been mean and nasty and selfish and a lot worse words, but I won't say in front of Jeff, up until this point. And you
right,
really...
In front of me, no big deal, but Jeff.
Yeah. And you really don't like her that much. You know, you see that she's kind of had a hard time, but she's not a lovable character. But then, you know, she goes to the bar, she starts drinking. Bobby Ray says, you can take the girl out of the honky-tonk, but you can't take the honky-tonk out of the girl. And that's when we see it. That's when she gets just absolutely wasted and starts acting a fool and betrays her friends. And it's just
poor
a
Bobby
mess,
Ray.
Right?
Bobby Ray didn't do anything.
Poor
but
guy.
Then, the very next, well, not the very next scene, maybe two scenes after she wakes up and she's hungover, but she goes to visit Jake. And the tides totally change. She is now just so much more, like, empathetic and, like, reproachful and trying to have actual adult conversations with him. And it's like, okay, now we're starting to see here. Like, now we see what you came from and maybe what you were before you went to New York and tried to be some sort of hotshot. And this is when you really start to develop her and Jake. And I stan.
You stan. So, speaking of stan, do you know what stan means, Jeff?
Of course
you said
I do.
Stan. Okay.
Yes.
So if the viewers who don't, it means that you love something so much you would die for it, take a bullet for it, or whatever else. Like, you are a super fan of it.
Basically. I believe this is a direct reference to the Eminem song as
yes,
well.
Yes, correct.
Right? Yeah.
Correct. Yeah, Lori, you know, in all her infinite wisdom, told me that as well. So,
yes.
Steven keeps me up to date on all the kids' lingo.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm so much younger than her and everything. but Lori and I talked about it, and I think we stan both Andrew and Jake. We stan both. We stan.
Yeah.
Yeah. Actually, she said, her exact quote I have here is, "We stand Jake and Andrew."
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, so I think this is like a Jake versus Edward. Like, who do we choose? What are we doing here? Sorry, Jeff doesn't know that because he's never seen Twilight.
I get the reference, yeah. Okay, Stephen.
But this is one of those where I feel like you can argue, and I kind of think part of this movie is kind of just BS making Andrew and Jake such good guys. You got to give one of them a fault, you know?
Yeah.
Be like, this is, which I guess Jake has his faults, but the past that is there, and he's been trying to conquer the world, and he really loves her, and that was, they fell in love at 10. Like, right. What are we doing here? I gotta have a bad guy that I can just be like, don't be with that guy.
But look, so this goes back to, it's maybe not super clear because they don't have to outright say, why aren't Drew and Melanie perfect for each other, right? Because we can sit here and say, he never did anything wrong. He was a great guy, which I think is absolutely true. But they didn't really know each other. She obviously couldn't be herself around him. So as you learn more about her, you start to see why that doesn't really fit. I think he would have accepted her any way that she was, you know, after he finds out who she is and he comes back and we have a past, who doesn't? I mean, again, any girl's literal dream, but that's not it for her.
Yeah. So. Like you said earlier, I mean, could you pick a more perfect guy to screw over than Andrew? Let's go into your next notes, because I think I'm ahead of you in the plot, technically.
Well, I think we're doing good.
I think we are.
Do you have anything that we're kind of speeding past?
No, just to touch on that, I think Andrew is unequivocally the right choice. But I will say, you make a great point, because she can truly, genuinely be herself around Jake, and that's the key, because the thing she's embarrassed about, like where she lives and where she grew up and, you know, just her parents and everything about it, Jake doesn't care. You know, it is what it is. They grew up together, and she doesn't have to be ashamed, but it's like she wanted to hide all that for Andrew, lied about where she was living, literally lied about her last name. She was being a completely different person.
But then she told him all that, and Andrew still...
Yeah, it's much more of... It's a her problem. Mm-hmm. It is.
It's a her problem.
Again, he never did anything wrong, and when he did find out, he was still there. He came back for it.
Right, and what, like Steven said, he's basically flawless.
Yeah.
And he's really handsome, so, you know... There's so go ahead with yours, because I think my next note's going to be along with your plot point here. I think, if I'm correct in where we're at.
Oh, my next one was when she goes to visit her dad at the battlefield. Is that where we're at?
Oh, yeah. We did skip past that, so you can go ahead.
This is like my least favorite part of the movie. Like, whole battlefield stuff. It's so weird.
I love it. I love it so much. No, I love when she's walking around yelling, "Daddy, Daddy," trying to find him, and that guy just pops up. "Who are you looking for? What is it? Who are you looking for, darling?" "Earl Smooter. 5th Regiment," and the audience pop up. Okay. I love it.
That part was hilarious. That was hilarious. Yes. That killed me. That was probably my biggest laugh in the movie, actually. I just meant the whole aspect of that in general.
Yes.
Was weird, super but weird. Not that particular portion.
It's painful, and I think as people who live in Alabama, we kind of see some of that Confederate stuff, and it's like, well, this is what the North, and this is what Hollywood thinks that people who live in Alabama do on their Saturdays, which, I mean... Well, probably a lot of us do.
Probably are a lot. But... yeah, honestly.
Again, I think we should partially be offended by this movie. But
well, it's true, because a lot of times, you made a good point about Hollywood. People, I don't know, it feels like they make these broad generalizations and stereotypes, especially about people from the South. And it seems like these hurtful depictions. So I think that is problematic. But overall, they do it in such a comedic way. It's not like, I don't think they were intending to be harmful. You know, it was more for a comedic effect.
No,
well, yeah, one of the first things in the beginning of the movie, when she's talking to her friend, and she's like, come meet us for lunch around the corner. And she goes, "I can't. I'm in Alabama. And I don't know if you can say it any worse than that." Mm-hmm. And then her friend goes, "Oh, my God." Mm-hmm. And that just paints the picture there. This is what people think.
Exactly, yeah.
And this is what she was worried about, her friends thinking. This is what she was worried about Drew thinking about her, and that's why she was never comfortable just like being herself, which we found out she could have just been.
Right. Well, like, it's like New York's this beautiful, like, almost mystical place where you can, you know, achieve your dreams and do all this, and in Alabama's, like you said,
not
Alabama.
It's great. Keep going. I'm still ahead of you.
So, love that shot.
I think this is the next one.
And then
the next two.
This next one is really important, right? So she's looking for her dad. And then this is where we figure out that Andrew is in Alabama trying to find her, right? And we have him coming from the left and then Jake and his truck coming from the right and merging in the road. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if that's not some sort of, I don't remember anything from my like literacy classes, but I feel like that would be some sort of pivotal point or something of interest where it's like, they're merging at the crossroads. Where do we go from here?
Yeah, quite a coincidence, though, that that happened. But I like the way you're putting it.
Thank you. Nice bow on this. Yeah. This is me. I'm trying too hard to impress y'all.
Professor Bach would have been very proud of this.
Thank you. Just did.
I think the very next line I have that is also one of my favorites is when they kind of both get out of their cars and are finally up to the house, and Jake looks at Andrew and says, "Here to see Bobby Ray?" Who?
Yeah, that was great.
That was perfect. And then I think her next line I'll touch on a little bit is that I actually really like it too, the scene where Jake and Andrew are both riding in the car to go see Melanie. Mm-hmm. Jake obviously knows that he's talking about his Melanie at the same time, but Andrew obviously doesn't know who Jake is. So I think it's a great scene of, you know, them going back and forth and Jake talking about the fake Melanie and everything like that. Do you want to take it away?
Yeah. I mean, I'll say it, and I already have said it about almost every scene that I've talked about. I love it. I really do. I think that, I mean, what do we think? It's maybe 90 seconds in a car is so full, right? Because you just can see Jake has loved her since they were 10 years old. And you can kind of see why. I mean, of course, she's gotten into a lot of trouble, but this girl is passionate, and she is bold, and she is fierce. And he's loved her ever since, and you can kind of see he's telling the story, and he's really reminiscing about how great this girl was, and you can kind of see Drew just being like, it's almost like a, really? Her? Sort of moment, like, out of Arrested Development.
Yeah.
Where they kind of don't really get what's so great about this girl, and it's like, well, that's it. That's who she is. You just don't know it. And mm-hmm. I love it.
Perfect.
Yeah.
I love it.
Well said.
There's the scene where it just kind of focuses on Jake. Like, obviously, most of that scene is two shot, and then it focuses on just Jake on that one shot and kind of almost zooms in. Mm-hmm. Scorsese-esque.
It's in it, baby.
I'm just going to keep saying Scorsese-esque. And then, obviously, we get to... Go ahead.
Anything to add?
No, we're just...
He doesn't, I think he's waiting. He's just relying on us to carry this show.
I'm loving this.
Okay.
I'm killing it.
The next thing I have is that... I think Lori has a line for this too, but obviously Andrew's mom comes into town after he kind of, they break up for a second. Andrew comes right back to her. She agrees to come, like, you know, go back to him and everything like that, still get married. And then Andrew's mom comes down, the governor of New York, or mayor.
Mayor.
Mayor of New York comes to town, and Pearl offers her fried pickles right off the grease. And my note on that is that if we go one day, we have a son named Wes, if we go to that girl's house one day and they immediately offer her fried pickles right off the grease, Lori's going to be like, good choice, son. You made the right choice.
You have done well.
Yeah, you've done what I approve.
In this world, I think there are a few things that I would trust more than fried pickles hot out of the grease from a sweet old lady living in a double wide.
It's like,
I don't think you get it if you're American than that.
Yeah.
you can't make this stuff up.
Yeah, that is the perfect food. If you're looking for, you know, something really good that a double wide is going to kick you right mm-hmm. off the grease, it's going to be fried pickles.
That is one thing they touch on pretty well in this movie is the Southern hospitality, right?
That's true.
And then we see later the mayor, forget her name, the mayor of New York, but she insults the mother mm-hmm. with a cruel joke. She's like, go back to your double wide and fry something.
Yes. Going off that scene, I love the first person punch where you just see have the fist going into the camera. Again, Scorsese, yes.
That might actually be the best shot.
That is great. It doesn't ever shoot the first person except for that shot. That's like the one time it does. Mm-hmm. That's such a perfect time.
But I also think that's maybe where decency starts to unravel, because she punches the mayor and, you know, all hell breaks loose and everybody's cheering and it's raining. And then Reese Witherspoon goes, if you're friends with the bride, stick around. I'm going to go find me a groom. And she's just wild eyes. And it's just crazy. And I'm like...
She is Melanie Smooter.
Melanie Smooter has arrived.
Yes. Also, Andrew, way too cool with her being like, you know, I'm not here for this.
Yeah, like, you flew from New York, had your friends come and colleagues come. And
yeah. Also, took her back after she lied this whole time to you.
And you paid for most of the wedding.
Yeah. And then she's just like, I just can't do this. And he's just kind of like, okay. And then, like, walks away. Way too cool.
Okay.
Yeah.
But I would love both of y'all's opinions here. Do you think that Melanie was in the wrong?
She shouldn't have agreed to marry him at all at that second point. After, because she had already gone through all that stuff with Jake. She already knew that she was having feelings for Jake again. She shouldn't have gone through with it. And then she obviously didn't sign the divorce papers.
Well, she didn't realize that she hadn't.
What do you think about that word? Do you think that was intentional or not? Because the way I interpreted it was that it was intentional.
Oh, I don't think it was intentional. Okay. I think that she was hungover, and then, you know, that was right after kind of this big, like, shift, right, in kind of how she's behaving. I don't think it was intentional. I just think she overlooked it. She's been, obviously, they've been going back and forth with these papers for 7 years. Mm-hmm. So once she got the signature, in my, you know, my opinion of it is that she was just like, okay, that's it, we're done.
So maybe it was fate that she forgot.
Of course it was
yes, fate, Jeff. Absolutely. What are you thinking?
I should have known. I'm so sorry.
Oh, no, I don't. Fate, sure. Or she.
Destiny.
No, she subconsciously didn't sign it because she knew she was supposed to end it with Jake, but she just hadn't come to that realization herself yet.
This is Sophie's choice.
This is deep, yes.
And then
I love it.
And then of course we get the kiss in the rainstorm, and then so I can kiss you anytime I want and everything like that. Mm-hmm. And they go back to the bar and they have the Sweet Home Alabama playing.
For the second time, right?
Yes.
Yeah, second time. But we missed an iconic line here.
Okay.
Right? So I wanted y'all's opinion on
it. It wasn't the, if you're a friend of the bride, stick around.
It wasn't that But I wanted y'all's opinion on if she was right or wrong and maybe why or why not. But once she says she gave her heart away a long, long time ago and she never really got it back, you can't argue with that. She tried to leave it all behind, but she just never could. Mm. And it took her to come back and just see everyone, to dive back into it, to realize that. And I just... Stan. I would die for them.
Yes. And well, ever since she learned what Stan was, like, I don't know, like a year ago, which I didn't even tell her the full definition. I was like, you're a super fan of it, basically. Mm-hmm. And she's used that so much. She stands everything.
And I usually use it wrong. Yes. But that, I think I'm doing today.
She says, we stand? Can we stand that? And I'm like, I mean, I guess technically, but I wouldn't say that for that.
As long as you stand the Slow Burn podcast, right?
Yes. Everybody's a stand on the Slow Burn podcast. Duh. If you've heard it before, you stand.
Duh.
You can't be a Stan, though. Because Stan, we've talked about this, to Stan is like in...
Okay, we're getting way too deep into Stan. Okay. So I think the last thing, and then the last note I have, unless you have more, Lori. Jeff?
Let's see what you got, Steven.
Okay, the last thing I have is that they have this, they play Sweet Home Alabama at the very end, and then there's the only time they do it, they have the slow-mo, like a super slow-mo of the final kiss, like an insanely slow motion of the final kiss.
No, that's not the only time.
When they else do they do
this? Is when we talked about it when we were watching it, is that they randomly had that super slow-mo when they're coming in for the kiss in the rain, where they kind of even like backtrack it as she throws her arms around him and they totally elongate that.
Those two slow-mos, just very like...
Mm-hmm. Sorry.
And it's like a... It's like a such slow motion that it, like the screen almost lags a little bit. It's like cuts frames.
It's like it's not fully rendered.
Exactly. So I thought that was very interesting. Mm-hmm. So we are finished. We just got through Sweet Home Alabama, one of Lori's all-time favorite movies. Mm-hmm. I actually enjoy it for what it is. I know it is what it is. It's not like the greatest movie masterpiece of all time, but I think it's an enjoyable movie. Let's go over the Rotten Tomatoes score of it, Jeff. You have those?
I sure do, Steven. So, the critics, 38% enjoyed this, which makes this very rotten movie, according to the critics. But the audience, completely different, 78%, which is very high. Very good audience score. So, very interesting the discrepancy between the two.
Yeah, I think it was a 5.1 out of 10 average score. Mm-hmm. Let's go, Jeff. I want to hear Jeff's initial, or his rating of the movie.
Okay, I would just say, so this is probably my least watched genre of movies.
Rom-coms?
Yeah, definitely. So I'm no expert by any means. And Lori made a good point when she started this. I love that she chose this movie because she said it's one that we never would have chosen ourselves. And it's totally true. I never would have even watched this movie by myself. Honestly, I'd never even heard of it. Like, and I know it's
Reese
Witherspoon. Yeah, I was
How do you live in Alabama and not heard of Sweet Home
It's
Alabama.
So crazy. I'm sure I've heard of it in past. Maybe I've even seen it in the past and just don't remember.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm
you
glad
blocked that from your memory.
Yes, just threw it away. So it's definitely not my kind of movie, but for what it is, I think it's very successful. And Lori so eloquently described it as throughout this podcast.
So you love it more after hearing Lori, right?
Yeah. You know, she's a great salesman, for sure.
I give it way more of a deep and way deeper meaning than it probably even deserves.
I don't know. Again, this is an Andy Tennant film. Yeah, don't you forget.
This is Martin Scorsese Jr. Okay, right. So this is who we're talking about.
So I would, for me, it would be somewhere in terms of what I'm into. It would be somewhere in the low 50s.
Okay,
but in terms of what it set out to do in its particular genre, I think it was very successful.
So your rating.
Everybody I've talked to about this movie said that they'd love it, and I totally see why. So I by no means think this is just like a horrific, unwatchable movie.
But it's your rating, so what's your rating?
I think I would give it a 50.
I think that's very fair from you. Yeah. Okay. Very
that's
fair.
That's fair.
And I've given some rom-coms that I have seen like a 5, so.
That's okay. Again, very fair.
Well, yeah. I think, and to what you're saying too, I think y'all even unintentionally did your own sort of poll, because anyone that you've mentioned that, hey, we're going to talk about Sweet Home Alabama, maybe mostly females,
mm-hmm.
we're really excited.
Yeah.
So, you know, it is what it is, but it's great for what it is. Yeah. I think, yeah.
Yeah. You want you last?
Oh, no, I'll go last. Okay, yeah.
Special guest is last. So I'm with Jeff. I do enjoy this movie. It is a good rom-com. So it is, you know, top-tier rom-com for me. Rom-com's not, as Lori can attest to, it is not my favorite genre at all. As we've learned on the Suicide Squad, that's kind of more my genre. Mm-hmm. The guy's guy, I don't know, what can I say? I'll give it the same score you gave, 71 for Suicide Squad.
Okay.
71. So it's a very enjoyable rom-com.
Yeah.
It's not my favorite rom-com, but it is way up there. And, you know, it's really good for what it is.
I just love this movie.
Okay.
I do. It's one that I can always watch. This doesn't gain it points, but it's just one that you can always turn on.
Well, this is your rating.
And it's
rating.
Good. I'm just explaining it, okay?
Okay.
And it's just good over and over again. I don't think I've ever gotten tired of it. And I was creating my list of favorite rom-coms, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, most of these are from early 2000s. And I feel like most recent ones, man, they're bad. They're super cheesy. They try way too hard.
That's
and
so
they
true.
Don't have any plot to them, right? I'll watch them, and I will enjoy them while I do, but I probably wouldn't rank them very high. This, it actually has the emotion, and it has a plot that progresses and character development, which I think is pretty fantastic, and conflict and resolution. Ugh. I'm loving it more and more as I'm talking. I was going to say maybe like an 85, but now I'm going to go with a 90.
90, okay.
90. And that's just because I don't know if I would really rate anything much higher than a 90. That's just reserved for God. You can cut that part out.
So 91 to 100. Only God is 91 to 100. But Sweet Home Alabama comes in a close second at 90.
To God.
Yeah, to God. It goes God and then Sweet Home Alabama. Baby. Not Jesus, not the Holy Spirit,
no.
But Sweet Home Alabama.
Well,
I'm not cutting that. I can't cut that.
That was just an example.
That was beautiful. I love it. I love it.
That was awesome.
That was a great example. I think we all love that example.
That's amazing.
Okay, well, there. That's
Can I ask Lori one more question?
Yeah, yeah.
Is this your favorite Reese Witherspoon movie?
Yes. And okay. I will say, I'm not that big of a Reese Witherspoon fan.
I was going to ask you that
there
next.
Are definitely people that I would choose over her.
Mm-hmm. I will say, I think she is amazing in this movie.
She's though. Great.
Yeah.
She's great. So
she,
when
plays,
we're talking about,
she plays the Southern charm.
Well, yeah.
Which apparently she's from New Orleans. If I'm not mistaken, you might want to fact check me on that. But I believe she's from New Orleans.
We looked up earlier. You're right.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, that goes back to like the Charlize Theron thing. I don't really see it, but mm-hmm. yeah. I do think Reese Witherspoon, she's just perfect for this.
Yeah,
yeah,
I agree.
Okay. Well, that is the slow burn review of Sweet Home Alabama. Good job, everybody.
Yay.
So, so with our review done, now we want to move into our first draft. So we want to do kind of on this podcast, especially when we have guests. We want to do movie drafts. Now, that can be a genre of a movie, that can be director, that can be pretty much whatever we want. We can kind of go free range with it. But for this draft, we're going to do snake draft. For those who do fantasy football, you know what that means. Basically, that means that we're going to give our special guest the number one pick. It'll go me, because why not? It'll go Lori, then me, then Jeff, and then
okay.
Jeff will have the next pick as well.
So I wanted
go
to go
twice
third,
in a row.
So yes.
He will go twice in a row, and then it'll go back to me and then to Lori. Everybody got it?
Let's do it.
Okay, so this is your draft of rom-coms. This is your favorite rom-coms. We're going to do 5 picks. So top 5 rom-coms of all time. Lori, what is your 1-1, your first pick?
It's going to be Sweet Home Alabama.
Okay, okay.
I told you I wouldn't do it. I said that was too predictable, but honestly, I've sold myself while we've been talking about this, and that, that's what it is.
Okay. I like it. I like it. That no explanation needed. I think we got all the explanation in the review.
Andy Tennant film. I'm done.
Yeah, I was going to say, you've got me. I'm sold. So my 1-1 still on the board, and I wanted to go second because I thought Jeff might have taken it because Jeff only probably knows 5 rom-com movies.
That's not true.
Crazy Stupid Love. It is a great movie. It is the...
Oh, sorry. No explanation is needed.
Well, we just went over. We just reviewed Sweet Home Alabama. We haven't reviewed Crazy Stupid Love.
You hurt my feelings.
Oh, I'm sorry. Well, I thought you were done. I wasn't trying to hurt your feelings. I apologize. Would you like to explain Sweet Home Alabama? I thought you explained it really well in the review.
Incredibly well.
Yeah, incredibly well. Mm-hmm. You did really good. Crazy Stupid Love. Steve Carell, obviously. I love anything with Steve Carell. After you watch The Office, how can you not love Steve Carell? I love Ryan Gosling as well. And I think he plays the part of, you know, Steve Carell's teacher in this movie just incredibly well. Love Emma Stone. I love all the people in this movie. And it's such a great plot. It's hilarious. They have so many funny moments in it. This is a rom-com that I legitimately just love. Like, I love as a movie in general, not just because it's a rom-com. So that is my 1-1.
Okay.
For my first round pick two.
It's a good choice. Okay.
That still was that on your list?
Yeah, of course.
Okay.
Yeah, for sure. It's a great pick, but for my first draft pick, I'm going to go with When Harry Met Sally.
Okay, great one.
I love a lot of 80s movies, okay? It's one of my favorite decades for film, and this movie's just awesome. It's directed by Rob Reiner. He also did The Princess Bride and Stand By Me. Very good director, and I think he's killed this movie.
Well, if you look up, like, top rom-coms of all time, Harry Met Sally is always, like, one or two.
Oh, I'm sure, yeah. It's Meg Ryan and Billy Crystal, and Carrie Fisher's in this movie.
Okay.
So, yeah, it's just a great movie. So, oh, and I gotta go next.
You have another pick?
Oh man. Okay. I might be stretching here. I'm gonna ask Lori if this counts.
Okay.
Does Clueless count? Do we count Clueless? Because I saw it on a list, and I'm like, if that counts, I gotta get Clueless.
I think Clueless counts.
I've never seen Clueless, so I don't know.
Yeah. Clueless counts.
I've never seen Clueless When Harry Met Sally either, so.
Really? Okay, well, you gotta watch Clueless, and then we're doing, you come on the show again.
Okay, Steven made the decision. It counts.
Okay. I think it does count. It's just, I'm not gonna spoil it for you, but... Do you remember Clueless?
No, it's been a really long time, but I know it's a rom-com, and I know I've seen it on literally every single rom-com list ever is mm-hmm. Clueless. So again, you're picking two of the very popular ones, because Harry Met Sally's either one or two, and Clueless is usually top five.
Well, okay, if you had seen Clueless, you would understand why I'm questioning, but I'm not going to spoil it, so.
Okay.
All right, I understand.
I understand. There's a lot of if you look at rom-com, like just Google it, or you look on Netflix, or I think we looked on HBO the other day, and you like search rom-coms, they have some questionable picks in there that I would not consider rom-coms. But you know, hey, we're up for debate.
Yeah, here. But they would also have like The Sixth Sense on there, and those things aren't
exactly. It's stuff like that they have on there. You're just like, oh, I don't think that's a rom-com. Oof, I have so. You know, I'll go obvious. Actually, no, I'll go obvious. Princess Bride. That's a great movie. That's just a great movie in general. It's just the whole storytelling of it, and I knew I was gonna steal. I can't not though. It's still on the board, Jeff.
Yeah.
What do you want from me?
It's
still on the board.
You gotta take it.
I gotta take it.
I went Clueless over Princess Bride.
I didn't know what you were thinking. I thought for sure you're gonna take Princess Bride in your next pick. So my top two off the board. That was my top two. So thankfully I got
good for you, buddy.
Lori, what you got? Is it Princess Bride good?
Oh, yeah.
A good explanation.
Oh, it totally counts, yeah.
Go ahead.
So in preparation, I wrote down like 15 movies to be safe, but now I'm feeling like I'm just going to be able to shoot through my top five.
Yeah.
Because none of y'all.
Well, one of your top five is one of my top five, but I can't take it.
So my number two is 10 Things I Hate About You.
That was in my top five.
I love it.
In my top five. Have you seen that movie?
I have not seen this movie.
Okay. Heath Ledger, man.
What? You just jumped my gun because I was going to say.
Oh, sorry.
What's my reason for having number two? Heath Ledger. That's it.
Incredible.
That's my explanation. Right.
I mean, it's honestly a good movie.
Okay.
It's a good movie.
I'll check it out.
It's back to me.
It's back.
Wow.
Wait, no, it's Lori again.
No. Wait, I'm lost in the snake.
Right.
It is Lori again. It is Lori again.
Oh.
I got lost.
Yeah. So, this would be up for debate. I don't know if it counts as a rom-com, but it does have Gerard Butler in it, and he's pretty funny in the brief stint that he's in there. P.S. I Love You.
That's a rom-com. Well, it's more of a romance.
It's more of a romance, more of a drama.
You've never seen it, Jeff, have you?
No, but it's on my Letterboxd watch list because someone recommended
really?
It to me a while back. Yes. Someone recommended this to me a while
this
back.
Is a, this is way more of a romance than a comedy, but it does have comedic moments.
Mm-hmm.
And this is no longer a draft. This is just us letting Jeff know what movies he needs to watch.
Yeah. Right.
But sure. P.S. I Love You is absolutely my number three.
It's a good emotional romance.
It's so good.
It's a good movie. Okay. It's not bad. Of all these that she's named off so far, that I've seen way worse for rom-coms. So she's not too bad so far.
Oh, so y'all aren't judging me too hard?
All right, I'm going to steal one of Lori's that she made me watch that I actually really enjoy.
Mm-hmm.
Pride and Prejudice.
I like that movie a lot, actually. Yeah.
I think it's a great movie. I love the back and forth that you have between... I'm going to blank on the names of the characters now. Can you help me, Lori?
Elizabeth Bennet and... Mr. Darcy.
Darby. Close enough. I love Ms. the back Darcy. And forth they have between those two, mm-hmm. especially in the beginning when they hate each other. I mean, it's I love that dynamic,
yeah.
And it's obviously it's just an entertaining movie. It's a great
talk
movie.
About like growth and character development. It's just
it's a good
some
movie.
Some self realization in there.
And that's one of those movies that, especially if you haven't seen it before and you're a guy or whatever, you're like, ugh, I don't think I want to watch
Jane
that tonight
Austen
or whatever.
Book.
Yeah, exactly. But it's honestly entertaining.
I love that that is on your top.
It's a good movie.
I've made him watch that a few times.
Yeah.
It is a favorite of mine.
Movie, yeah.
Keira Knightley, Rosamund Pike, and it's directed by Joe Wright, who's actually a very good filmmaker.
Yeah, he's seen it.
Anna Karenina.
When he's seen a movie, he does that too.
I think we have one of our next topics.
Oh, yeah.
You sound prepared.
Okay.
Well, that's a movie he likes. He's much more prepared if it's a movie he likes.
Mm-hmm. He also did Atonement. I don't know if you've seen that. It's also got Keira Knightley in it. Great movie.
What you got, Jeff?
Okay, I'm going to go Groundhog Day.
Okay. Did you just Google your top list of rom-coms?
No,
and you're like, all right, that's five. That one's three.
No,
that one's one.
I love Groundhog Day. What are you talking about?
That's fair. Bill Murray is awesome.
Of course, I did some research and I looked up Ron. Made sure I don't want to miss anything. But
I got you.
Yeah, I love Groundhog Day.
I got you.
Bill Murray's incredible in it. It's an incredibly influential movie, actually. Happy Death Day, by the way.
Palm Springs.
Yeah. There's all kinds of... There's some TV show that just came out. I forgot what it's called. Like Russian Doll or something? It's
based
on the exact same premise. So, very influential. Basically, a new genre of its own.
Mm-hmm.
Great movie.
Of its own.
I meant on. You know,
okay.
Don't make fun of me. Now
you got another pick.
Okay, now here is where I'm scrolling through Google. Like, okay, don't know what
so
I'm going
to
go.
So this is your last, no, your second to last pick. You still got two more picks, Jeff.
Can I like, vamp here? You know, you guys want to talk about your day or something? Quit staring at me.
There was nervous. Something I was just going to say. I forgot what it was. Just kind of
I should have stole Princess Bride. I feel bad now.
That was going to be, I was going to go with that. You know what?
It was still on the board, Jeff. What do you want from me? I wouldn't have taken Clueless. You could have had Clueless.
I'm going to go with my favorite movie out of the ones I mentioned. I wasn't going to pick it just because I'm trying to win this draft. And
okay.
I don't know how many people have seen this. Maybe a lot. I don't know. But I'm going to go with Before Sunrise by Richard Linklater. Have you seen this?
Mm-mm.
You said Richard Linklater earlier that you've seen a million of his movies and
mm-hmm.
you don't know
I've
if they're rom-coms or not.
This one, I think it's a rom-com. It's definitely...
Is it romantic?
It doesn't fit all the normal tropes of a rom-com, but it's romantic for sure. It takes place...
Is Casablanca a rom-com? Or just a drama?
Oh, that's just a drama. That's not a... That is not a
rom-com. Yeah, it's...
I was trying to give you one, so go ahead.
I wouldn't count that. I think it's...
Tangent, but go ahead.
Yeah.
Richard Linklater.
Richard Linklater. It's got Ethan Hawke in it, Julie Delpy. So what they've been doing is they make these movies like every 9 years. So they did a sequel like in 2004, and then they did another sequel in 2013. Might be another one coming soon. We'll see. But it's a great movie. You should watch it. It's one night where these two people meet each other on a train and they just spend the night in Venice.
Do you want me to let you use a movie that hasn't come out yet?
What would I use? I don't know what you're talking about.
I don't know. I mean, you might use Last Night in Soho. That could be like a...
That is not a wrong call. If I could, I would. I would love to fit that in everything. So
okay.
That's my two picks. Groundhog Day and Before Sunrise. Great movie. Watch
Sunrise.
It if you haven't.
Okay.
It's back to you.
Back to me, so... And then we have one more go-round. This is where... I think I'm going to go The Proposal.
Good choice.
Love that movie. Ryan Reynolds is just... I don't know. Ever since Deadpool, which I liked him in this movie before, but ever since Deadpool, it's just everything he's in, I'm like, I got to at least see it, even if it's bad. I just like, I love his type of comedy, his dry humor and everything. It's great. And obviously, Sandra Bullock is great in it too. And then you have, what's the...
Betty White.
Yeah, Betty White.
Grandma.
Being, you know, just great, especially with the fire chanting, you know, everything. To the window! To the wall! It's great. Great stuff.
Can you do that again?
To the window! To the wall!
Incredible.
Ready?
I am ready. You have two picks. So, yeah, well, this pick like and then your last pick.
Oh,
yeah.
That's so stressful. So, number four... Rumor has it. We talk about favorite actresses or ones that I would die for. That's aggressive. But Jennifer Aniston.
She... God and Jennifer Aniston.
No. God, Sweet Home Alabama.
Sorry.
Jennifer Aniston.
Sorry.
Don't get between God and Sweet Home Alabama.
Won't happen again.
Yeah. Her and Kevin Costner. And even, oh my gosh, the Hulk.
Oh, Mark Ruffalo.
Mark Ruffalo. It's quality. And it's so quality. Good. It's that, I think you've watched it with me, I think. It's the, not spin-off, guy. But it's a, no. But it's, or maybe we were just talking about it. The Graduate.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
it's kind
okay.
of like a okay. sequel movie, but not really.
You can have that it's one, kind Jeff. Of a stretch. That one.
The Graduate?
Yeah. I feel like that would be a Jeff movie.
I do like that movie.
Again, so there you go. Jeff movie. I feel like you're a Dustin
Hoffman.
Hoffman guy. Almost said Hoffman, and I'm like, that's not right. okay, so this is my last pick, right?
Oh, I was supposed to go
with
my
five.
Oh, no,
yeah, you have another five. Okay. Sorry.
So, gosh. You've only taken, between the both of you, you've only taken one that was actually on my list.
Was Pride and Prejudice on your list?
It was not.
Which one did I take on your list?
No, that was it. That was the only one that was on my list that y'all have taken.
Oh, man.
Pride and Prejudice?
I wouldn't count Pride and Prejudice as a rom-com.
I think it has comedic moments. More of a romance slash drama.
It's more like
period
quippy
piece,
or sarcastic, but
well, I feel like that's comedy.
This is hard. Okay, you know what? It's gonna be What a Girl Wants with Amanda Bynes.
Okay.
I love that
as
one.
As opposed to What Women Want, which is with Mel Gibson.
That is a different movie.
Key different.
Is that the one where you can hear their thoughts?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So there you go. There's my top five.
What a Girl Wants. Good movie.
Yeah.
Good movie.
Oh, I can't believe I didn't say it. Channing Tatum. Come on.
There you go. You got me there. Imagine Mike a rom-com.
Ooh. can I change something?
No. Oh, we didn't even touch on one of your favorite scenes in Sweet Home Alabama. We're just going to touch on just because we mentioned Magic Mike.
I did skip over that note.
Why did you skip over it? I looked at her. They have a strategic scene where they have Jake taking off his shirt, and I looked at her. I'm like, did they do that on purpose? She said, great choice. Movie magic.
I believe the exact quote was, thumbs up.
Thumbs up. Yes, that's what it was. Thumbs up. She actually didn't even say it. She just put a thumb in my face with it up. I think my last pick, so... I think objectively speaking, it's probably a bad movie, but I enjoy it. And I love all the people in it. Another Reese Witherspoon movie. This Means War.
I knew that was coming.
It's probably, most people think it's bad movie.
Tom Hardy
and Chris Pine.
It's in a rom-com. Absolutely.
It's an action rom-com. It's got Reese Witherspoon in it too, which I actually like Reese Witherspoon. So, yeah. It's probably not a good movie, but I enjoy it. Okay. There's some plot holes, but hey, it's enjoyable. I'm here for it.
Okay.
All right, let's...
Let's
wrap it up.
I really just want to, like, vamp some more.
Okay. Do you not know a fit?
I know plenty that could be the fit. I do have one that might be a stretch that hasn't been mentioned.
Well, we know it.
Yeah,
it's going to be another Richard Linklater.
Okay, now there's one I want to pick, but also want to win. And I know for a fact, I've never met another person that's seen the movie I want to pick, so...
Okay, so I would pick the one that you want to win with.
Do you guys think... Do we think The Notebook counts?
We talked about this before the show.
We did.
Mm-hmm.
Steven said that it does.
Well, it's less if we're questioning Pride and Prejudice.
Yeah.
The Notebook is less of a
it's
rom-com
closer.
Than I'm going to take.
The Notebook?
The Notebook is absolutely closer to being a rom-com than Pride and Prejudice.
Oh, the sarcasm and quippiness and argumentative nature in Pride and Prejudice, there's so much more comedic relief in Pride and Prejudice than The Notebook. We can count The Notebook, because I want Pride and Prejudice, so you can have The Notebook.
That was a great year for Rachel McAdams, though. Mean Girls also came out in 2004. So,
you know what? You don't choose Mean Girls?
It's a great movie. yeah, okay. No, but Steven, did you do your final pick? Mm-hmm. You did. Do you want to recap your list or?
Oh, so yeah, we can recap everybody's list real quick.
Do you have any honorable mentions?
Oh, I have a lot.
I have two honorable mentions. So honorable mention, number one would be Along Came Polly.
Okay.
Ben Stiller, Jennifer Aniston, great movie. The scene where he just gets rubbed up on by the sweaty basketball player, all time. and then a McConaughey movie.
Ooh.
Failure to Launch.
Green Light.
That's a good one. Oh, and Green we didn't line. Even include we didn't even include Fool's Gold, and we just watched that.
That's
Andy Tennant.
Yeah, Andy Tennant. But is that a rom com?
The Notebook, Pride and Prejudice.
Fair enough. Also, Hitch, another Andy Tennant, but that's a good rom com. That's a objectively speaking, that's mm-hmm. a good movie.
Yeah, I did forget about that one until you mentioned it earlier.
Any honorable mentions?
Oof. How much time do we have?
Keep going. We're way over anyways. So.
Yeah, you can just, crop this
Who
out.
Who cares?
Most listen I to did episode. Have The Notebook on here. She's Not That Into You. I don't even remember what that movie is, but I did just write it down. What a Girl Wants, another Amanda Bynes.
You used that.
No, I didn't.
Yeah, you did.
No, I did She's the Man. Did I say What a Girl
you
Wants?
You did say What a Girl
I
Wants.
I meant She's the Man.
You did say that as your fifth pick, but She's the Man award. It's not like it's written in stone.
I said Channing Tatum and you agreed.
I was thinking a different
No, I said She's the Man because then you said, oh, because then you said what women want. Oh, yeah. No, I meant She's the Man.
I was thinking She's the Man too. I was honestly thinking that when you said it. So.
Wow. Sorry, guys.
No, it's fine.
Just kind of keep going. Up.
We'll let it slide. No biggie.
I did. You're going to cut it out anyway, aren't okay. you?
Yeah, probably. Go
this
ahead.
Isn't going to be that. Here, this is the most recent one. This is where I'll end up. To All the Boys I Loved Before, which there are now like three or four of them mm-hmm. on Netflix or something. They're taking it way too far. But the first one, it was good. So
we stand. That.
No, that's good.
It's actually not bad.
Yeah.
I feel like you just brought one up and I can't remember. Oh, I was going to say another McConaughey movie. And now I'm blanking on it. Jeff, go ahead.
The Vow.
No.
That was on my list.
My two that I would mention are one's my recommendation from last week, Me and Earl and the Dying Girl.
Yep.
Love that movie. I don't know anyone else that's ever seen it. I
haven't watched it yet.
Okay, you should. Yeah. And I'm also going to go with Breakfast at Tiffany's. I'm counting that. I don't care what you say. Great movie.
Okay. Oh, that was another fact that I missed from Sweet Home Alabama. That was the first movie that was allowed to shoot at Tiffany's. Sweet Home Alabama was since Breakfast at Tiffany's.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Oh, that was at Tiffany's? I did not know.
It's really cool, and I'll tie back around.
There Sweet. You go.
Okay.
Everybody good? Everybody likes their pick? Let's recap quick since we messed up the picks earlier.
Well, I can't
earlier.
Believe I messed up my title.
So my top five were Crazy Stupid Love was one, Princess Bride, The Proposal, Pride and Prejudice, and This Means War. Top five, Lori?
Sweet Home Alabama, 10 Things I Hate About You, P.S. I Love You, what did I say? Oh, Rumor Has It. And I meant to say, She's the Man, again, with Channing Tatum and Amanda Bynes.
Gotcha. Again, it was my fault because you said Channing Tatum, and I'm like, oh, yeah, She's the Man. Like, I was thinking of that movie, and, I screwed
this
that up.
This is what happens when I wrote 15 movies down, so.
Fair enough. Jeff?
I went with When Harry Met Sally with my first pick, and then I went Clueless, and then I went Groundhog Day, Before Sunrise, and The Notebook. I think I got a really strong list, honestly.
I mean, I think I'll win.
No, I'm going to win. Are we going to post this on Instagram?
Yeah, we have to post this for a vote. This will be posted for a vote on Instagram and Twitter.
I
want to
win.
I want to, too. I think we all want to win.
Lori's going to win, let's be honest.
Thank you.
I like my picks, man. Okay. And that's the show, guys. Anything else? Any last thoughts? Great show. Claps all around.
Yeah. Good job. I just want to say a special thank you to Lori for joining us. You did an incredible job. It was nice to have you instead of being stuck with Steven every week.
That's true. That's fair.
And we did do an Instagram poll. Comedy or horror? I wanted horror. Steven wanted comedy. I'm getting smoked. So we'll announce on Instagram later what comedy movie we're going to do.
Yeah. Right now, I'm leaning towards This Is the End.
And I'm leaning towards Bueller's Day Off. Maybe we can have a vote on Instagram
again. Is it Ferris Bueller's Day Off or is it just Bueller's Day Off?
It's Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
Yeah, it's definitely Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
Yeah. People know what I meant.
Not really like a comedy.
It's definitely a comedy.
I mean, it kind of is, but...
Okay.
All right, well, we'll decide for our next episode. We'll post it on social media on the next movie. So if anybody wants to watch along as they listen or watch right before they listen or whatever else, you're more than welcome to. Thanks, guys, and we will see you next time.